The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely the opinion of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Grown Folks Talk Radio Network and or Dreams Fulfilled Media. Listener discretion is advised.
You need to shut the f*** when Grown Folks is talking.
This is a Dreams Fulfilled Media production.
Welcome to Grown Folks Talk, where we promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Warning, this show is not for the faint at heart. So, if you're incapable of keeping it real, if you're not ready to face your issues, or if you're sensitive on any level, then please don't even bother sitting your ass at the round table. Please note that our views and opinions are just what they are. Our views, our opinions. We're not licensed therapists. We are licensed realists, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's your host, Mr. Sean D. Upshaw.
Hello, it's Grown Folks, and thank you for joining me at the roundtable tonight for another episode of Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. Of course, I am your host, Mr. Sean D. Upshaw, and listen, I can never thank you enough for taking time out of your Tuesday evening to join me and my panelists and hear what we have to say on a specific topic. But before we get to announcements and topics, let me first and foremost give a shout out to Dreams Fulfilled Media for being the media company that houses Grown Folks Talk live for you guys each and every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Second, I want to give a shout out to our loyal listening base, those who tune in every week, those who listen to our playbacks, which I have an amazing announcement in a few seconds about playbacks and everything. But I just want to thank you, because without you, listen, none of this would be happening. None of this would be pushing forward the way that it was given to me to push forward. So I'm forever in your debt. As always, you in for entertaining, real, mature conversation. We basically gonna have some grown folks talk tonight. You actually in for a surprise, because not only do we have my coach Ivy here with me on Tuesday, but it's a family affair. We have the realionaire, Mr. Andre Spence. What's going on, people?
Hey.
How are you doing tonight?
Hey, listen.
I'm doing great.
The band is all wonderful. Back together.
Yes.
I know, like, right?
It's like
the
a
band
new edition.
Is back.
It's like a new edition reunion here. Who gonna be Bobby?
I know, right?
Who gonna be Bobby?
All six.
It's all good. So, you know, for those who are wondering why we having a collective roundtable tonight, it's because it's just certain topics where you have to call the family in, and we have to get it from all angles, because this is one of those topics. Of course, tonight we're talking about my kids dictate my dating and relationship life. They come first. So I had to call in the favors. You know, I usually have Coach Ivy on with me on Tuesday and the Realionaire on Thursday, but hey, had to be a collective thing today. And trust me, you're going to be glad I did it. You're going to be glad I did it. So let's start with some announcements before we break into these segments. As you already know, for those who don't know, because I've been posting it like crazy and texting some of my friends, Grown Folks Talk has went to another level. It's big to us, maybe small to y'all, but it's big to us. Nevertheless, I have to tell you. So to access Grown Folks Talk, not only can you listen to the playbacks on SoundCloud, you can also access them from iTunes. You can go to iTunes right now, subscribe to the Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw channel or a podcast or however you want to put it. Hit the subscribe button and download all the episodes that are on there right now. That's some exciting news, right, people?
Yes!
Well, yeah,
yes,
definitely. Definitely.
Exactly.
Taking it to the next level.
That's what it's all about, taking it to the next level. Also, I got an email yesterday in the same day, because they say blessings come in too. I got an email from Google Play Music that say, we've been approved for them too. So it's going to take them a few extra days to, you know, I guess, do whatever they have to do in order to make our content available. Nevertheless, we are very appreciative. We just love the fact that we can take this show to another level. Keep in mind that we do it for you guys, and that's what it's all about. We bring this roundtable to you each and every week to have grown folks conversation, to just try to get to the root of some of these issues. That's why I have Coach Ivy. That's why I had a Realionaire. These are not just titles. This is what they do, people. So we're excited. And not only that excitement, you also get not only Ivy's intuition tonight, you get an impromptu Realionaire tip before Thursday even hits. How excited is that?
Oh, you get it early. Oh, yes.
So it's a beautiful thing this Tuesday, April 19th. We got to write this down, because this is definitely a monumental occasion. So, you know, ladies is first, and, you know, Coach Ivy is always on Tuesday. So let's start with you, Coach Ivy. What is the Ivy's intuition for today? I'm waiting. I'm all ears. I'm just in amazement to have you two on with me tonight.
So I tried to make this topical, and I really thought about this. And my intuition was I actually don't think people with children think about how anybody's going to fit into their life. I think they think about how the person's going to fill this void of partnership. Mm. I think that's how they approach it. Versus if they fill the void of partnership, you're creating a family, a new family. Or depending on how your relationship is with your former partner, he could be an extension of an already existing family, if that's already intact. So that kind of led me to my insight. Like, the question would be for anybody who's thinking about this is, have you actually considered how a partner, man or woman, is going to fit into your already existing family? And what does that look like for you? What is important to you for this person to bring, to have, and for you to offer to them? And I think most of us don't think of it that way. How we really think of it is, I'm lonely, I'm trying to get laid, I want some companionship, I want somebody to take care of
me.
I want to, like, that's how we think of it, right? We actually don't consider the impact that could have on your child or children. And so my insight would be, have you actually thought of that? Have you actually considered what is the impact of adding a man or a woman into your life as it exists? Have you spoken to your children about dating? Do they even know you're dating? Are you just going to show up and start calling a bunch of these dudes Uncle So-and-so until you weed them out and vet them? Like, women and men do it too. Or Auntie So-and-so, or just have a rotating list. I grew up in a divorced home, and my parents dated other people. And even, you know, hindsight is 20/20 later, back in there, you know, children didn't have, obviously, I had no say. But I can remember the impact that everybody they dated had on me. And we've talked about it years later. And they've apologized in some instances. Oh, yeah, that was, I don't know what I was thinking. I was tripping on something. But I don't think they actually ever considered the impact on their children at all and how that would impact their family. So,
definitely.
Yeah, my intuition is I don't think you do it, and my insight is take some time and actually consider how is this going to impact your family. I mean, ultimately, as I always say, like, this is all about the evolution of the self. You know, join the self evolution, because the most important relationship you're going to have is the one you have with yourself. And if you don't know how people are going to impact you and your family and what is dear to you, how is everybody else going to cope with what you're introducing to them?
Hey, great points. Great points. And listen, I've never been a victim of that whole uncle and auntie thing, but I do know people with 47 uncles and 49 aunties because, you know, our people refuse to just keep it 1,000 when it comes to their lifestyle.
That's right.
But I definitely agree with you on that. Yeah, that's some real talk right there. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, find out how to, you know, reach out to Coach Ivy. She's going to tell you right now how to do that. Reach out to Coach Ivy. Follow her. Like her. Because like I always say every week, she, ebonically speaking, she knows her shit. So tell them, you know, how can we get in touch with Coach Ivy?
You can Coach Ivy everything. You can Coach Ivy Google. You can Coach Ivy Facebook. Coach Ivy Twitter. And my website is Life Coach Ivy. If you want to check that out too. Oh, and one other thing, I want to shout out to Miss Latanya Spencer, who sent my page to, I think she said 100 people, and I've been getting all these likes all week long, and I just wanted to acknowledge her and thank her for that. That was just so generous. She didn't have to do that, and I appreciate it.
And let me tell you something. Latanya Spencer is a faithful listener. She's actually one of the brave ones who press one with some of these topics that we have. So definitely shout out to Latanya Spencer. When this ship gets to rolling, we're always going to remember her as one of the two that you know, God told us to bring, like he told Noah. So
that's right.
It's all good.
That's right.
Dre, listen, I'm coming to you, brother. Welcome to Tuesday night, but I'm glad you're here. Let's hear that impromptu millionaire tip.
Oh man, I feel like a foreign man in a foreign land on Tuesday. I know. Once again, I am Andre the multi-millionaire, and we are bankrupting bullshit in our lives in 2016. And what do we mean by that? We are focusing on helping you overcome the obstacles of your progression. Anytime you're trying to move forward something or something trying to stop you, that's your bullshit moment. Find out what that is, and we're trying to help you overcome that so you can continue to progress into the life of bliss that you deserve. My impromptu tip of the week is, and I often say this, is that failure is feedback. Mm. Failure is feedback. A lot of times we either fear going for something, or we resist the desire to accomplish something, and we'll get right to the edge of it. We'll turn back because we haven't succeeded in an easy way or an easy format, or it wasn't a smooth transition like we thought it was going to be. Not realizing that quite often those failures were feedback that gave us more gumption, more insight, more strength, more ability to understand the situation, the circumstance. If it was not for the 3,000 times Thomas Edison had failed, so-called, trying to create the light bulb, electric light bulb like we have it today, we wouldn't have, we'd still be using candles or oil. He used his failures as feedback for the next experiment and then the next experiment. So remember, don't fear what's going on. Take advantage of what's going on and learn from when it doesn't work out the first time. If you're writing your first book and it doesn't turn out the first time the way that you want it to turn out, get somebody to edit it for you and work with you. If you're going after your goal when it comes to health, go after it with gumption. If you don't do your diet correctly the first time, don't fret. Just learn from that situation. Learn from that circumstance, because failure actually is feedback. And that's my being there tip of the week.
That's a good one. Another good one. You see why I say these people are changing my life? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something crazy, Dre, about the whole thing of failure as feedback and why you said what you said. I actually was talking to my wife about this the other day. This is crazy. You need to stop bugging my household, man. I know you work for the guy. Okay. Listen. So anyway, I told my wife how sometimes I would get to almost the finish line of something and turn around and look and think that something's going to stop me from crossing it. So what I do is take a detour. Like, I literally would see the finish line and be like, okay, now I'm going to go left because this is just too easy. This is too easy. This looks too easy. So eventually I realized I was setting myself up. Now I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all going to want to smack me, but this is grown folks talk. I have to keep it straight grown, straight real all the time. The thing that I was talking about is, so I was in school and it was 120 credits to finish, right? And guess what I quit at?
What? Please don't tell me 119.
you actually close. I stopped at 117.
Wow.
I stopped at 117 and took a different direction, thinking, okay, well, I'm going to take this direction, and actually convinced myself that this was the better direction. But it wasn't until Sunday, actually, or Saturday, that I realized you did it to yourself again.
Wow.
You didn't want to cross that finish line. But I learned something in not crossing that finish line, because I learned something in taking that alternate route. But at the same time, I realized that it all came back to that main road. So
that's the feedback. All that you described, the lessons that you learned in those moments, that's the feedback of that failure, where many would have just given up and just or just beat themselves if that only, and not taking the time out to analyze the situation for what it was and to accept, okay, this took place. Now, how can I learn from it? And that's the feedback of our failure. So every failure, no matter what it is, does give us insight, does give us feedback.
Yeah.
And the good news is you were actually looking. You were sort of on alert, looking back. Many of us just plow ahead, full steam forward, and 20 years later going, I have done this my whole life.
Exactly.
I know, right?
You caught it. So that's the miracle, the gift.
Well, I had to catch it, because you have to really start taking into consideration that everything that you got going on, to some degree, you have people depending on you.
True.
So you can't afford to turn left when people are behind you pushing you forward. So we're going to leave it there, and we're going to go into the hell no moment.
Hell no.
for this Tuesday.
Yeah. What you got?
Listen, this is crazy. This is crazy. Usually the cops are pulling you over for a specific reason, especially if you're black. But this particular cop has a certain reason for pulling you over. So the story goes, do you know why I pulled you over? Can I have your driver's license and registration? And are you saved by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Wow.
We imagine that's what a typical traffic stop from former Indiana State Trooper Brian Hamilton might have went. Hamilton was dismissed from his duties after preaching to drivers that he pulled over one too many times. So, this third young lady... that's one way to preach the gospel. This certain young lady by the name of Wendy Powell claims that upon pulling her over, Hamilton bombarded her with questions, about her faith and even gave her directions to his church. But instead of taking those directions to her to his church, she took directions to a lawyer's office, which eventually filed a claim, which eventually got him fired for trying to save people while giving their ass a ticket at the same damn time.
Wow.
As many cops that are out there stopping people on bullshit, and don't get me wrong, I mean, everybody has their right, but...
Hey, what can you say,
it's
brother?
Rare that I'm speechless, man. You know this.
Yes. Well, I told you, I was going to
believe they fired this dude.
I was going to give you hell to the gnaw moments for these specific reasons, but I'm telling you, this is what it's all about, people. I have to give you these. And the reason they said they fired him because he was abusing his power. That's basically what they said.
That's
so I don't.
One man half.
Yeah.
If he pulled him over for trumped up charges in order to preach the gospel, and I don't know what the case says. If he pulled them over for whatever they've done and preached the gospel, it's not a bad thing, but it infringes on people's right to choose their own faith. And I don't know how he was doing it either. Was he handing out tracts? Was he browbeating them in? And you're not going to go to heaven, and this ticket is really going to keep you from the gates of, I don't know what he was saying.
I don't know what he was saying either. And to be honest with you, I'm so confused because I want to give somebody the hell to the gnaw, but I don't know who to give it to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take time to give.
I'm giving it to Wendy.
Hell
I'm
no,
giving it to Wendy.
So I have to give it to Wendy, and I have to give it to the state of Indiana because I don't know what either one is thinking. I mean, to a degree, I see his point, but to a degree, I see their point. So I'm just confused. So I'm just going to put everybody in the pan and cook them. That's just how you do it.
You know what? Honestly, for that, I would have been like, I'm secure in my faith. I appreciate him sharing it. He's doing
it from
a place of being convicted of his faith. I'm annoyed, but I'm going to let it go because he's a human being on his own path, on his own journey, and we all need love and forgiveness. Let's just let that slide.
Here come Wendy ass with an attorney.
Why does she have to go to a lawyer?
It ain't even that serious, Wendy. That's why she get it.
Yeah, or she even could have just said, look, I'm going to just drop a dime on y'all. It didn't offend me, but it might offend some other people. I was nice, so, you just might want to check him so he don't get, somebody else going to a lawyer. I would have done it like that. I don't think I would have gotten an attorney involved.
Well, nevertheless, we never know what are the thoughts of people. So what are we going to do right now? We're going to leave it there. We're going to take a quick break for station identification. On the other side of the break, we're going to jump into this topic. My kids dictate my dating and relationship life. They come first. So what I want you to do is sit back, relax. We'll be right back after these short messages.
This is Real Talk for real people seeking real solutions to real problems. This is Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw. Coming to your speakers now. Your source for real talk with no bullshit. You're tuned in to Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw on the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network.
If you can't handle Grown Folks Truth, then...
You can't handle the truth!
This is Grown Folks Talk with Sean D. Upshaw on the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, Grown Folks. If you're online and you'd like to be a part of the roundtable discussion, then do so by dialing the Grown Folks Talk hotline at 646-787-1851. Press 1 to get into the queue, and we'll be glad to pull a seat out at the table for you. Now, let's get back to the discussion at hand.
And we're back. I know we're running a little bit behind, but hey, it's for a good reason. That's because not only do we have Coach Ivy in the studio, but we have the Rillionaire here. And if you're wondering why the Rillionaire is here on Tuesday instead of Thursday, because like I said in the beginning of the show, there are just certain topics you have to bring the family in on. And this is one of those topics. So it's, I know it's 20 after 9 and 8 Central, but listen, it's well worth the wait because we're about to go in on this topic. But just to, you know, get a sense of, you know, what people are thinking when they allow their kids to dictate their relationships. So as I said in the beginning of the show, big day for Grown Folks Talk. You can now access us on iTunes as well as Google Play in a couple of days. Well, you can get us on iTunes right away, but you can get us on Google Play in a couple of days. What you can do is, you know, go there, subscribe, download, you know, our playback episodes, and voila, there it is. But if you live streaming right now, you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, dial in 646-787-1851. Again, that number is 646-787-1851. If you're already at the round table, press 1. We'll love to hear your opinion. Nevertheless, let's jump into this topic. Coach and Dre, listen, great topic tonight. I have to pat myself on the back for this one because I have experienced it. And I don't know if you guys have experienced it, but I'm quite sure you can give us some insight into this topic. Let's start with it. And we're going to start with ladies first. What are your thoughts on this, Coach? Because I know you are a single lady with a daughter. How much do she dictate your dating and relationship life?
So I'm going to keep it real. My daughter's not involved in my dating and relationship life at all.
Okay.
Because she's just not. She doesn't get involved until there's reason for her to be, which means it's significant. And then when it's significant, there's introductions made all around. But she's not involved, and that's why she's not involved, because if he's not significant, why would I even put my daughter through that? So then she doesn't need to be involved in my dating and relationship. Like, she's not really.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no rotating door. She's not meeting every man I go out with, or, you know, there would be no need for that. She knows that I date. But there's no reason for her to be. She's not a part of the vetting process. I mean, this is not her decision. You know, she's not measuring them up to anything. So she really isn't involved. The only place that would be that I think that she could be potentially involved is when they meet. They have to form their own relationship, and you kind of have to allow that to unfold naturally, however it's going to be. And then you've got to determine how, you know, if it's healthy for both him and for both her. Because there are some people that you know, don't like your kid, and your kid doesn't like them.
Yeah.
And you have to navigate that and decide if it's worth you navigating. So, you know, for myself, my own personal opinion is I have one daughter, and I've got to get her through. So that's one of the reasons why it's a priority. At the same time, that doesn't mean that, you know, if I'm in a relationship, I'm going to totally ignore my man. But I don't personally feel, this is my opinion, that at this point in my daughter's development in life, that I would choose a relationship that didn't work for both of us. That's where it would meet the road. But that's why I do my work up front, because there's no point in bringing them around if it's not going to work out.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Dre, listen, I know your head is over there. Your brain over there going right now. Your brain
you
is
know
going,
me,
brother. What you got for us, brother?
Okay. For me, when it comes to, and I have to agree with Coach Ivy, because of this. Good mom, bad mom. Not necessarily good mom, bad mom, but good woman, bad woman. Now, we're talking about my single year.
Okay.
I will meet two type of women. The first one that will have children. The first one would be the good one, somebody I can get along with. She cool. You can see something maybe developing, or we just get just the energy. We just vibing off of each other. She just will happen to have a child. This will happen to have a child. But we at that, like Coach Ivy said, at a certain stage, we're not implementing the children yet because we don't know how serious we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're talking about the bad girl. She just will happen to have a couple of shorties, but I'm in the smash. So I'm coming in, sneaking in when the shorty sleep, and then come on, we keeping it real. And
before
the shorties get up at 6 o'clock, I'm out at 5:30. So it depends on the woman how she treats herself, because if she's not treating herself, if she just my jump off and I'm her jump off, we don't have to worry about meeting shorties. because that ain't going to happen. And the irony of it was, I would even feel bad when they would introduce me to their kids, because I'm thinking like, why are you introducing me to your kids when I'm just up? Or every once in a while, I'm coming out the bathroom, shorty walk out, and I'm looking like the Grinch that stole Christmas with the little girl sitting there. That's what I'm saying. Let me give you a cup of water. Take your ass back to bed. I'm about to go back in here and do my dastardly deed with your mama. So it depends on the woman, her womanhood first for me. If she's a good woman, she knew, like Donnie and I, we decided that we were going to, when we finally decided that we're going to be serious and where we're going to meet in regards to the children, we decided a public place would be best. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to do it in private. We just wanted to do it in a place where the kids were comfortable. So we chose church. So and the kids were like, okay, where's Andre? He's sitting right behind you. What? That's him.
Yeah.
So that's because I knew that was going to be the woman that I wanted something serious with. But to jump off females, no, I don't need to meet your shorties, because that's all you're going to be to me, and that's all I'm going to be to you.
Got you. I got quite a few experiences with women and kids and how some of those women allow their kids to run their dating and relationship life. One in particular story jumps out because I always remember how this specific young lady just allowed her child to just run. And it was the boy. It wasn't the daughters. It was the boy. And I remember one night I was over there. And this is actually after I graduated from sneaking in and leaving before 5:30, before they woke up. So, you know, I'm over there, you know, kicking it with his mom. He comes downstairs like, oh, you still here? And I look, I looked at him like, in my mind, I'm going to tell you what I said. This grown folks talk. I'm in my mind. I'm like, this little fucker here. So I look at her.
Right.
I look at her to see what she was going to do. And she's like, well, just go back upstairs, baby. You know, we're not going to be here long. So immediately she went on my shit list. I'm like, oh, okay. So this is how we roll now. You just let your kids walk down here and just be all willy nilly and say whatever the hell they want to say. Okay. I see how this can go. Now we fast forward. When I met my wife, I told her off rip, hey, I don't want to meet your kids. I'm not in position right now where I want to meet your kids. I'm not ready for that. I met her daughter on accident. It's because the father of her child, this old nothing ass nigga, decided he didn't want to watch his daughter that weekend. So guess who's there that weekend? Why?
The daughter. Right.
So I was forced to meet her, and I'm like, shit, now I have to meet her, and I don't really know what direction me and her mom was going in. So it's kind of crazy. And you don't want to present that image to a little girl when she sees her mom indulging in adult activities. You know what I'm saying? I just had respect, but that respect came at a later age. So she didn't allow, you know, that situation to, you know, taint what we had going on, clearly, because we're married now. But as far as that other relationship that I spoke on, that right there, that would have been a disaster waiting to happen. I can see myself now, if I decided to go down that road, calling Dre or calling Coach Ivy for help versus actually knowing you guys, I would be trying to seek counseling. Like, listen, I'm about to kill these kids. I need some help over here.
So, listen, brother, I got some rope. You know, we both from the east side. Give me a dumpster. We got this.
So, you know, speaking of that particular point, I wanted to touch on it today, but I know we're going to talk about it more in depth on Thursday. But as far as the relationship between the mother, son, and the father, daughter, I want to talk about those dynamics, because my wife always jokes with me now about saying, hell, if we break up, I ain't got to worry about nobody coming around, because London ain't going to let you have no girlfriend. And I've heard women say, you know, well, my son is my man now. My son is my man. He's my everything.
Ooh, no.
See, true. Even Coach Ivy over there, like, woo. She ain't even ready. But listen, what are your thoughts, Dre? Because you and I, we've experienced that where the woman has basically transformed their son into their man. So whatever he says, it goes. Even at 5, 6, 7, 8.
And what I found is that the woman has, and you're right, we both have experienced this to a large extent. And it's kind of sad, because you find the woman, you find yourself having to walk away from a situation that you really thought, man, we could have been something together. It wasn't no jump off type of thing. This was a good person, and they just were allowing that, what I call your baby boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your baby boyfriend. Usually it's very rare when it's the mom and the daughter, and the daughter's like, well, I ain't feeling him. Usually it's the son that's, let's put it like this. I found it's not even the kid to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
I found that the mama just on her own made him into the baby boyfriend. Kid ain't asked for it. He just going to be a kid. All of a sudden, she just locked the little boy to her hip. And anybody that's going to be involved with her has to automatically, without mm-hmm. growth between you and her, be involved with the little boy. And then any decisions that are positive and negative in regards to you two as adults, she ends up siding with the situation that would work with her and the baby boy, just like in the movie. And so at the mm-hmm. end of the day, she ends up losing out on good guys, not just bullshitty guys, some good dudes, because she's so busy focusing on having her baby boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I've seen that time and time again. It's a lot of ladies out there that's, like I say, you got some extra damn hangers in your closet, and you rolling your ass over on the cold side of the bed because you got you a baby boy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Listen, I already know how it is. And Coach Ivy, I'm coming to you right now, but I can speak on that because
get him, Coach.
My baby, London, does that now with my own wife. Like, I can kiss Kendra right now. And London like come over there and like, don't kiss on my daddy and wipe the kiss off. And it's like, you only kiss me. I can see how it can transition, especially if I wasn't in a relationship. So Coach Ivy, why do you think, you know, that whole, the lines basically get blurred when it comes to, you know, children interacting with their parents as far as relationship goes?
I think it's transference. I think these people are lonely and they transfer mm-hmm. They transfer this romantic ideal or void onto their children, which is so unfair to the children because that's not the role that they fulfill. It's an inappropriate relationship. It's why you have, you know, daddy daughters that have daddy issues and can't, you know, their father is the only guy, whether he's a deadbeat dad or even a good dad, no guy is as good as their dad, or they're so critical of men. And same thing, you have men that never leave their mother's house, and you know they don't know how to be in a relationship with a real woman because there's always some other woman, the mother, taking care of them, you know, that kind of thing. It's tragic because it hurts the real person. That, like, you're a grown ass woman or a grown ass man, you're responsible mm-hmm. for your own dating life and the choices that you make, but your children didn't ask for this.
Exactly.
And they're kind of getting this unhealthy expectation dumped on them that they must live into and fulfill, not only as children, but well into their adulthood, because it
True.
Impacts them. They're not able to form healthy relationships later on in life. And, you know, and they're riddled with guilt and obligation, and they just, they don't know how to handle it and how to process it. They're not able to grow beyond that parental relationship. And it's very tragic. It's very, I've seen this so many times, and it's very tragic. My mom is always giving me these stories about these. I try to give them your number, Ivy, but you know, I'm like, mom, you know, you have to actually believe that there's something wrong or not wrong. You have to believe mm-hmm. there's something for you to overcome. Where there's a lot of people that are just, they're so into their son's life. She's got this person she tells me about, so into their son's life that the son isn't making good decisions mm-hmm. about his own life, and she won't mm-hmm. leave him alone. She's in
yeah.
every aspect of his life and telling him what to do. It's just, it's terrible. In his relationship, he's trying to have a girlfriend. She's dictating what movies he and the girlfriend mm-hmm. should go. I mean, like, it's granular down to
yeah.
like nitty gritty details. And
yeah.
he's just, and then she wonders why, I don't know why he won't talk to me. I don't know why he doesn't want to come around. I don't know why. And the dude is trying to break free. He wants to be
yeah.
free. He wants
yeah.
to have a normal life. And the same thing with girls, you know, girls and their dad. You know, eventually at some point they're going to be like, you know, I just want to date a guy without feeling like my father's going to hate him, or date a guy that I feel like is good enough. Why can't I find a guy that's good enough? And it's because she's constantly comparing, you know, from the time she was a kid to a teenager to a grown-ass man. Well, no teenager is a grown-ass man. I mean, like, it's an unfair comparison. And
yeah.
her whole
right.
life, she's been comparing, you know, her dudes to a man who's been on the planet, you know, almost twice their age. Of course he's
yeah.
got more stuff, more savvy, more seasoned, more mature, treats her better. He's lived a longer life. He's had
mm-hmm.
a different relationship with her. And, you know, they just, they don't give their children an opportunity to make choices for themselves. And it's sad. It's very, very sad.
Well, it's beyond sad. It goes borderline stalker. But I have to go here because it wouldn't be grown folks talk if we didn't really give a psychological standpoint here. So let's address the flip side of this whole thing. Let's address how some parents are, well, their dating and relationship situations are affected by their kids simply because they may resemble a certain parent. So their parents actually, you know, can't stand their kids or stand, you know, and that transfers into a hate where they just can't stand men altogether or women altogether or certain women that have these characteristics that your son's or daughter's father may have that, you know, then trickle down to you. So it's basically you have generalized everybody based on your hate for this one specific person. So I want to get into that because I know you have seen that as well. And I really want to talk about the whole mental side of it and how you unconsciously, you know, fall into that realm if you're not careful. Like if you have a bad experience with the father of your child and then you see that in your kid, then, you know, typically what happens is you see it in somebody else. You hate them. You begin to resent them for no damn reason at all. Dre, have you experienced that?
Actually, it's kind of funny because my stepdaughter holds the traits of her biological dad. I mean, it's wear her emotions on her sleeve, the victim mentality, everybody's against me. And this dude is 40-something years old, and he's still on that, still living with the parents. The whole world is against him. And my daughter holds some of those traits. And I've tried to, over the years, kind of like let her see that she's a 2.0 version of her lineages and not what your dad is, but I still see it conjure up so much that it's like, wow, it's kind of sad to see that. So I know exactly what you're talking about as far as a person, one of the children holding some of the personality traits of that spouse, whether it be the dad or the mother. I mean, not spouse, but that parent that may be the dad or the mother that's on the outside of the situation. And all you can do is just with the kids is just basically try to love them through it. But I've never had to worry within my situation in my marriage of Donna's feeling or my wife's feeling resentment toward my daughter because of those traits. But I have seen other individuals that because of you remind me of your daddy, that mom is just popping off. Or I've had females like you may have had, Sean, females tell me, or you're a Libra. Oh, I don't deal with Libras because of this.
Yeah.
That. Well, I'm not. Whoa, hold up, baby doll. I'm not that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate when people classify people like that.
Yeah, he was the one that was abusive. So I may not hold traits of that particular person, but they'll automatically come out the gates assuming that because of your name is Andre. I don't do Andres. That I'm going to have the traits of globally, every Andre around the world has the same traits. So it's kind of a catch-22. It depends on the child. And I also say this, because one of the notes that I put down was a good kid, bad kid. And it depends on the stage that the child is in as well, because if that child is going through, if you meet the child like I did when my daughter was 11, now she's 24, stage is different. She may be the sweetest bear meat when you first meet them, and then they go through that stage of life that every young lady goes through in discovering who they are. And so you have to be willing to, if you're going to be that person on the outside, be willing to say, okay, I understand that this is just the stage that this child is going through. But as long as the parent, who's the biological parent, understands that, listen, your child acting a goddamn fool at 17. She ain't 7 no more. You need to check her. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, Coach Ivy, like I said, we have to give it from this aspect of just how unconsciously it happens. So what are your thoughts on, you know, what was asked about? Because I think we all find ourselves guilty of sometimes viewing new people that come into our life based on old results from past relationships.
Right.
And especially those relationships where kids are involved. Like Andre made the classic point, oh, you're a Libra. I don't mess with no Libras. I've even been guilty of trying to, you know, generalize everybody just because they're a Libra, but not taking into consideration that, you know, every individual has their own different characteristics. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I've been guilty of that too. Characterized, oh, I don't deal with that. It's not Libra, it's Pisces, but that's a whole different conversation.
Hold on, Coach. You know I'm a Pisces, right?
Oh, we don't got to tell our stories. Coach ain't telling a story.
Wait,
Coach, I need a story, Coach.
Huh?
I need a story.
You need a story?
No.
With Pisces, so let me tell you, like, first of all, I have to say, I actually love Pisces, but there's parts of them that trigger me, and I'm just aware of it. That's all. My father is a Pisces, so that's where the story generates from. And obviously, I have a very long history with my dad, whom I adore. My dad is actually bipolar. He's not well. So you can imagine what it was like growing up with someone who was bipolar. Now, he wasn't diagnosed with that until, you know, I'm a grown woman. So you can't undo all of the stuff that was done in my childhood as a result of that. And so he always just, my occurring of him is he feels uneven. Like that's how it's, and so that's my experience of men from being a child. My first boyfriend was a Pisces, trying to probably, unconsciously, he was a lot like my dad. He's what I love about Pisces, they are phenomenal listeners, hilariously funny, very talented, creative people, great conversationalists. I really enjoy being with them. But parts of them are dreamers, which is a great thing if they execute. It's a horrible thing if they don't, if you're with somebody who executes a lot. And my two grandfathers, may they rest in peace, were the best Pisces ever. I adored my grandfather. My sister's husband is a Pisces. I got a lot of Pisces in my life.
And you
so
got
I
one right here.
They seem to float in and out of my life like a lot, like just in general.
Right.
So, but I've had a chance to experience them, you know, in from different facets, from a parent, from a grandparent, from a brother-in-law, from a friend, as a lover, as a boyfriend. I've had all sort of relationships with men, and I love them. And I just kind of came to, I don't think in relationship they're for me. I can be friends with them all day and twice on Sunday. And I have lots of Pisces. I have Pisces girlfriends too. But that's but I came to that conclusion, like I'm not, it's not an angry thing. I don't know that if I met a Pisces and he told me later, like he was, I'd be like, oh no, you're a Pisces. I got to get the hell out of here. I don't think I would do that. But I would be like, I'm going to have to be just conscious because there are certain things that just in that personality that triggers me. But I own that. It's not them. It's me. It's my stuff to get over, not them.
Okay.
So that said, segue into your other question. That's the point. It's not other people's stuff to get over. It's yours. So when you go into these relationships, if you haven't done your work, you know, I'm all about the evolution of the self. If you haven't evolved beyond your baby daddy and baby mama, then all of that unresolved drama is played out either with your children or with your next partner and sometimes both.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to do your own work to get that squashed. Because if you don't, and really, once again, who pays for that is the kid. The kid is the one who ultimately is the collateral damage in that. Now, you're a grown person. If you want to wallow in self-pity and, you know, date, you know, I always say women date that same man, his name just changes. So, you know, Frank, John, Dan, Bob is the same, you know, abuser, emotional abuser or drinker or smoker or whatever. It's the same guy. He just has a different name. But if you haven't evolved beyond that and done your work, the collateral damage is the children that are involved. Because they're too young to process this at a psychological level. They just process it at their age emotional level. And then they just make up stories, because this is what the human brain does. They make up truths about that they live with for the rest of their life.
Don't communicate.
The world. Exactly. Because they don't know how. A five-year-old doesn't have the language to go, Mom, you're really fucking me up here by making me be your boyfriend at this event. I really don't want to do this. I'm uncomfortable. Don't you think you should get somebody your own age? Like, he doesn't have the language to say that, but he'll be like, why am I wearing – like, how he'll feel is like, my mom paraded me around. It was awkward. I just wanted to leave. Like, I didn't know how – like, it was just awkward. And she kept saying stuff that embarrassed me. And he'll have it as an embarrassing memory that, you know, he'll be talking to some – psychiatrist on their couch with trying to deal with for years. But you know, if this is on her, she or him, if it's the father, you've got to do your work around this stuff so that when you are interacting with your children, whatever traits they have of the former spouse or of you. Sometimes people don't like their kids because they see themselves in them and are afraid their kids are going to make the same mistakes they made. But you've got to get past that stuff. You got to get past all your bullshit around that and just deal with who you are and who your child is. And you got to love both of you. Got to love yourself where you are, love your kid where you are. And this is what I was saying with you got to think about how you want to invite people into your life. Is this what you want? Like, if you don't have that shit together, are you trying to invite somebody into that mess? So your kid can be angry and resentful. You already are angry and resentful. You're kind of bordering on misogyny. The woman is bordering on man-hater. Every guy is a dog. And you want to invite somebody into that mess?
Yeah, I know. Really? And that's part of the reason why I wanted to go the whole psychological and unconscious standpoint, because it trickles down to the kids to where now they become adults and their parents have dictated, you know, their dating and relationship life. It's crazy how this works. And we had to bring it to the roundtable because I don't think a lot of people know that they are actually involved in this process. They don't realize that they're doing it. So basically what this show is about is to present to you an option to say, hey, here is a mirror. Let me take a deep look and see if I'm guilty of this. Because this is an issue that can be generational if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you guys, it goes far beyond just the surface of this topic, which is my kids dictate my dating and relationship life. You had to know it was going to be a twist, you know, when we had this topic. So I wanted to go there because, as I said, on Thursday, we're going to pick back up on the whole mother and son relationship aspect of it. Because me and Dre, we was actually talking about this offline and how, you know, some of these women out here and they many boyfriends, they control every part of the relationship. And women get into these relationships with this blurred line of who's the actual man. So it's like, okay, well, if an 8-year-old is running the house, then what do you need me for? Cock? Like, I don't understand.
Well, and that's keeping it real. That's exactly what she needs you for, because she's unwilling to relinquish any other masculine, responsibilities to you. She's letting, you know, her son run the roost. But the hard part is to call her out on it. Like, if you actually called the woman out on that, she would be so hard-pressed to admit that. And you know what? In fact, I saw that on an Ilana Van Zandt show, and how she set it up was because they were having marital problems, and it was because she was a single mom with her son, got married, and she would not let her husband give her son any chores, and her and the son were constantly fighting. You saw, and what she did was she had tea in the bathroom, and she said, "We're having tea in the bathroom because it's inappropriate for us to have tea in the bathroom, just like it's been inappropriate for you to use your son as your boyfriend all of these years." And now he doesn't want to relinquish his role, or he feels his right as the man of the house, to your husband, who is now the rightful king of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what you have created.
Yeah.
You have done this.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it was a big deal. You know, I'd be interested to see how they kind of, I mean, she pointed it out, and, you know, I think they did some work around it. But that's a hard issue to overcome if that's been going on, if that's how it's always been with her and her son. And her and her husband and her son.
Yeah, it's definitely a hard task to get into and try to overcome. So, Dre, listen, we are at that 10-minute mark where, you know, like I said, we can't get everything in within an hour, but we can get everything that we can leading up to the next show and hopefully closing this topic for the week, which is my kid dictate my dating and relationship life. They come first. So let's start with some preliminary solution. Like, we're not going to give no definitive solutions, but we can give some preliminary solutions as to how to control this to a point where we get rid of it eventually and start with a clean slate.
One of the things that I've experienced that has controlled it, coming on board in a relationship with a woman that has a daughter and a son, great kids, really great kids. I've been blessed. And we got involved in doing a lot of things together. A lot of times when you finally expose to the kids that, okay, this is a person that I'm serious about, the kids never get a chance to develop a lot of relationships with that person as well. if that person is serious. What I did, I did everything from took my daughter to a first date in a movie, first time going to the movies, to took her to a concert back home in Detroit, to my son taking him to his first concert and college tours. So was able to develop relationship with them. A lot of times the mistake is made, if you're going to be serious about the mom, you have to realize as a guy or a female in a situation with a guy, you're going to have to develop a relationship with that, with those children as well, if you are in a serious situation. Now, if you guys aren't serious, then don't play with the hearts of the children. Keep the children out of the situation. And that's one of the solutions that I found.
Okay. So, Coach Ivy, what are some of your solutions? Because I don't know if you can come on the show on Thursday, but, you know, if you can, it'd be good. If you can't, we need some solutions from the coach. So what would be some
now.
Of your preliminary solutions? Yeah, we need that right now. Yeah.
The first thing I would, first of all, Andre, that was just fantastic. That was really great advice. I think this is a generalization, but for a lot of women, it's easier. If we're natural nurturers, we're going to engage the kids. Most women I know would do that. And that's not all. That's not every woman. I do know some that are like, well, he's got kids. I'm going to ship them off to school or try to get the mother to take full custody because she just wants to do. That does happen. But in general, it is very important that if you're choosing to be involved with somebody, definitely you need to build a relationship with kids. But I would take a step back and really look at and start with where I started at the beginning. What is it that you're seeking by having this man in your life? Mm-hmm. Is it just a conjugal visit, as I like to say? You want that conjugal where you just come over and hit it and quit it? Then be straight with yourself. Like, you don't got to tell your girlfriend. And you damn sure don't have to tell your children, and I probably wouldn't recommend that if that's what's going on. But be straight with yourself. If it's just sex or someone for you, then get someone for you. Your children don't have to be involved in that. But if you're looking to have someone in your life and have a relationship with this person, and they're going to have a relationship with your children, then you need to do what's necessary to have that happen in your life. And that's make sure that your relationships are clean with baby daddy, baby mommy, if you need that to be, so that there's no drama and there's no slashing the tires and him calling up and why and all this other stuff. Nobody needs that. Make sure your relationship is solid with your child. You're not, you don't have any stuff going on that you really need to address as a parent with your kid that you've not addressed. Because an outsider is going to exacerbate whatever that is. If there's a discipline problem, if there's school problems, if there's developmental problems, you need to have that handled for yourself. That doesn't mean they can't help you, but you need to be on a path where that's being handled by you as the parent doing that. And then you can really look at, okay, so how do I want this person to fit in my life? Am I looking for someone who's more of a parental figure, a father figure, a mother figure? Do they already have a father and a mother in their life? And really what I want them to do is model a good relationship for my kids, and support us in co-parenting. You need to be clear about that, because you have to communicate those expectations to this new person, and you have to communicate your thoughts about your dating and that you want to invite somebody into your life or your intention to do so to your kid when and if it's appropriate. So you need to be clear 100% about what you want and what you're wanting from this individual, from this person, and out of your dating life before you even go down that path.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And to piggyback off of you guys, I think the best thing, and you kind of already hinted or alluded to it, but I'm just going to reiterate it here. I think that you have to have that talk with your kid. Mm-hmm. You have to literally sit down and have that real conversation. Mm-hmm. As parents, one of the biggest mistakes that we make is assuming that our child is not ready for something, when in reality, you would be very surprised what they are capable of handling. If you don't draw the boundaries, they're going to be crossed consistently, especially with your kids entering into your relationships and you having a mentality that your kids have the right to enter into your relationships. You have to draw that boundary line up front, because what's going to happen is if you continue to go down this path, then eventually you're going to be in a position where you get mad at your kid for choosing their mate over you, because that's eventually what's going to happen. They're going to grow up and realize, well, hey, you my mama, or my woman, or my man is doing some things for me that you never would do. So
well,
you never
want. And I think Dr. Phil once said that children are meant to grow up and leave. And I think I heard once in a Bible class, it's like we're stewards of all the things we're given, even our children. They don't belong to us. They belong to God. They have their own purpose that they're being here. So you need to make sure you're doing your job to usher them onto their purpose. But they are meant to go out and do their purpose, which has nothing to do with staying up under your skirts the rest of your life and forsaking their dating life and their purpose and passion just because you did that for them. Like, you know, this isn't a trade-off. You're not going to hold them emotionally hostage, or you shouldn't want to hold them emotionally hostage because of them interfering with your life, or you're making the choice not to date, or you know things didn't work out as you planned when they were young. So
yeah, well, yeah, that's definitely a great point. And as I said on Thursday, we're going to go even deeper into this. One of the aspects that we're going to go, me and the Rillionaire is going to go into, about how some of the times that outside parent would, you know, kind of input into the child to force that relationship upon, you know, the mother or the father, just to keep control of that household, even though they're not there. Mm-hmm. So me and Dre gonna go into that. I know Dre, look, Dre over there smiling right now. I already know.
And I'm trying to keep my thoughts clean.
I can't wait for this call. You know, I actually will join on Thursday, and I'll tell you why. Because you guys have like a different perspective on that I don't have. Like, I have such a great rapport with that, and we're very supportive and create family units. Like, when he's dated other people and I have, there's this cohesion about and real inclusion. So we don't have that kind of thing where it's like, oh, you won't let her do that, or you won't. We don't have any of that. Like, we try to do joint holidays and stuff, but you all have a completely different experience than I do. So yeah,
Y'all
it's already are like there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So you already heard it here first. Coach Ivy will be with us live again. Like I said, it's one of those topics where it just have to be a family affair. A couple more announcements that I want to reiterate. If you don't get the chance to listen to us live on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you now have the option to subscribe and download the show from iTunes immediately, or you can go to Google Play in a couple of days and download it from there. We are very excited in the direction in which this show is going. Always keep in mind that we are doing this so that you guys can have, you know, grown folks talk at your fingertips at all times. We want to be on the road with you. We want to be at work with you. We want to be where you're working out. We want to be everywhere. We want you to share the experience with your friends. So that's what it's all about here, people. So we ask that you just continue to, you know, push us out there as we continue to just bring you content where it's just real conversation needed. So until Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we ask that you don't let anybody steal your joy. We ask that you meet us back here at the same time, same channel, Grown Folks Talk Radio Network, and just be ready to listen. And for those brave souls ready to press one, be ready to give us your opinion. So until then, have a great night. We'll see you in a couple days. Peace.
On behalf of Sean D. Upshaw and the Grown Folks Talk Radio Network, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to tonight's episode. We hope that you left with more knowledge and understanding than what you came with. But in case you didn't, lucky for you, we'll be back next week at the same time, same place. So until then, remember to never let anyone steal your joy. See you at the Roundtable next Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern.